website and go look at the details yourself. It's, again, www.freedomslips.com/season2013.htm. And get your favorites. First come, first serve, 7 to 21 days for delivery. Thank you. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps, including me. Later.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
An average host with exceptional guests. I'm Patricia Aiken. Every week at Sacred Cow Barbecue, my guests and I kill at least one sacred cow. We're definitely thinning the herd. We say to hell with politically correct and examine the real facts. Interrupt your regularly scheduled programming as we free our minds. Diversity, white genocide, the con in the Constitution, vaccine damage, fake money, criminally insane government. Whew, there's a big herd to slaughter. Grab a plate and come hungry. Sacred Cow Barbecue, Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A.
You really think you could hide it from me by encasing it in lead? I'll mold this box into your prison bars. Don't touch it.
That's kryptonite, Superman. Little souvenir for the old hometown.
You were great in your day, Superman. But it just stands to reason. When it came time to cash in your chips, diseased maniac would be your banker.
I have to leave you now. No hard feelings. We all have our little faults. Mine's in California.
I'm tired of getting a president and a lollipop.
Join us. You have been known to disagree with the council before. Yours could become an important voice in the new order, second only to my own. I offer you a chance for greatness, Jor-El. Take it. Join us. You will bow down before me, Jor-El. I swear it. No matter that it takes an eternity, you will bow.
I died while giving you a chance for life. And now, even though it will exhaust the final energy left within me.
Father, no.
Look at me, Kal-El. The Kryptonian prophecy will be at last fulfilled. The Son becomes the Father.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio right here at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station in the world. And now it is time for the man of steel himself, Mr. Mike Harris, with the short end of the stick. So are you ready, Mike? Because here it comes. It's all yours. Take it away.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Harris, broadcasting on VeteransToday.com, also broadcasting on FreedomSlips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. And folks, I got to tell you, I don't have a guest today. Let me back up. It's Tuesday, August 23rd. I do not have a guest. I just got back this morning at 8-something a.m. from an 8-day coast-to-coast road trip on business. And I am one tired monkey. I got home. I took a 3-hour nap. I got up from it. I am exhausted. But, you know, I've been busy. I've been doing work on Keshe Foundation work, a great deal of it, actually. I spent 4 days in Phoenix working on that, trying to get the manufacturing process up and stabilized so that these products can actually be manufactured and delivered and perform in a reliable function. There is just so much going on behind the scenes. I had a couple days in New York where I was meeting with, how do I say this, personnel formerly of the UN who are transitioning to work for the EU, who are seeking my advice on counterterrorism issues and what the approach is and how to address what to do, just a different perspective. And the perspective here on this is that the biggest problem the EU has right now on their counterterrorism issues, you know, granted, Europeans are kind and generous and loving people, and they're generous to a fault, where they're taking in millions and millions of refugees who are fleeing war-torn crisis areas. But the missing component, and I pointed this out succinctly, is that there is no plan to repatriate these people once the crisis is resolved. Okay, if you can solve that issue. And I had the same conversation with the Syrian Minister of Justice back in September, how it is incumbent upon Syria to offer incentives to get their people to come back home once the crisis is resolved. And so that is was a large portion of the discussion. And from the Syrian point of view, it's not the old people who are leaving. They can't make it. They're too sick. It's not the young people who kids who are leaving. It's their most fit and capable people who are leaving. My question to the Minister of Justice was, how are you going to rebuild your nation when the hostilities cease if you don't you can't afford to lose a generation of your population? Human capital is the most valuable resource any nation has. Okay. The countercurrent to that is that this ridiculous premise of Islam, that they must dominate the world, Islam is the only way. And so you've got these conflicts. And so, are they primarily Syrians loyal to their country, or are they primarily Muslims loyal to their faith? And that is the question that needs to be resolved, and that is what has to, once that question has a meaningful answer, a resolution to it, the Syrian refugee crisis in Europe will resolve rather quickly. And anyway, that's what I spent my day and a half, 2 days in New York doing and talking about. So I've just been so busy. I spent 3 days in L.A., working on an entirely different project that I am non-disclosed and can't discuss. But, I have been so busy. Plus, I've got my regular paying jobs. I've got my full-time job and my part-time job that I have to work. And, sometimes you just have to stretch and sacrifice a couple of things. And I'm afraid that the radio show today is going to be what I'm going to sacrifice. I apologize, but I had to get up at two in the morning. My alarm was set for 2 a.m. I woke up at 1:17 to use the restroom, and I couldn't go back to sleep. My shuttle was supposed to pick me up at 3:45, but at 2:30 I got a text message from them saying that they were going to pick me up at 3:20 instead. Went to LAX for a 7 a.m. flight. I got in at around 8:45, 9 o'clock this morning. Took an hour to get home. I went straight to bed. I just woke up, 20 minutes ago. I've already had one cup of coffee. I'm going to have to make myself another one because just too tired to do it. I apologize. There is so much going on in the world that I want to talk about, and I'll address briefly. I'm all right. Let's just say this. I'll do the first half hour of the show, but after that, I have to go. I my work is piled up so big. My paying job work is piled up. I got a mountain of it to tackle. But there are other things going on, and Donald Trump appears to be softening on the deportation of the illegal aliens. And one of the things that needs to happen is somebody needs to grab this guy by the scruff of the neck and shake him and say, your core constituency supports you because you want to send these people back to their own countries. They don't belong here. They're a burden. They're parasites on our system. And first of all, somebody needs to talk some turkey with them and say, look, knucklehead, there's not 11 million illegals here. They've been saying 11 million illegals for 25 years. There's 55 million illegals in this country, and they need to go home. And nobody is proposing that we break up families. If they have kids that were born in this country, take your children with you. Don't abandon them. Don't leave them here. I watched Bill O'Reilly the other night try to corner Trump and tell him, say, well, are you going to put up detention centers? Are you going to turn these people? Follow the Eisenhower plan. Whatever Eisenhower did, we do. Okay? That's one approach. The other approach is start going after the employers, the people who hire them. They're on the books today. Our laws call for a 6 months in prison plus a $10,000 fine for every illegal alien you hire. Pick three for the Fortune 50 companies that hire illegals and go after them. Pick up their board of directors, pick up their top 50 managers, throw them in jail, find the company. And if they want to exercise their rights for trial, find them, make them put the money in escrow, take it out of the cash flow of the company so that their shareholders feel the pain and they get new directors and new managers who will not break U.S. immigration law by hiring illegal aliens. And then you do local enforcement, the small and medium-sized companies in every county and every jurisdiction across the nation. And I will guarantee you will see pink slips going out and a mass exodus of people going back to their own countries. I just saw in an article today where Salvadoran entire families are coming up here. Well, what is this? We're going to support these people too? I mean, come on, Trump, get it together. Get it together. This is one of your key planks of your platform that has attracted the base to you, that has turned out Republican registration, Republican voters in the primary in record numbers. If you bail on this, kiss it goodbye. You don't have a chance. And we're going to have that criminal, the war criminal, Hillary Clinton, who needs to be hung by the neck for her treasons against this country. And folks, the way the mainstream media treats Trump. Remember, the mainstream media is owned by the corporate oligarchy here, okay? If they say Trump is bad, that means Trump is good. If they say Hillary is good, that means Hillary is bad. We are in George Orwell's war is peace, peace is war. We are, whatever they tell us, it means the opposite. That is where we find ourselves. That is nothing but propaganda. I've been living on 8 days of CNN and Fox News via the hotels I've been staying in while I've been traveling, and nothing could be further from the truth. And these Republican apologists who are trying to say, well, Trump only wants to deport the criminals. You know what? Deport all of them, because here's why. And I've used this example on the air a million times. I'm going to use it again today. My first job was a dishwasher, okay? If I was a teenage kid today, I couldn't get that job because some 35 or 40-year-old Mexican who's here illegally is going to have that job and he's going to lock me out of my entry-level employment. Trump made a great plea to the black Americans when he said, hey, look, what do you got to lose? You're living in poverty. You have a 58% unemployment rate among your youth. Well, duh, guess why? Because the illegal aliens are taking the jobs that all of our entry-level teenage kids should be having. That's why youth unemployment is so high. Okay? Understand it. If Trump buckles on this one, Trump's done, and he's not worth a warm bucket of spit. That's my rant on that. So we as a group collectively need to inform the Trump campaign that if he bails on this, if he weakens on this, you know, building a wall and letting the 55 million people who are here, all right, let's say 5 million of them are criminals, okay? 5 million. They're going to beat their chest and say, oh, we deported 5 million criminals. We built a wall, and now they can't get back in. Well, you still have 50 million of them here who don't belong. Now, you wonder why your kids' school's overcrowded? Because you got Mexican kids in there who don't belong in this country, need to go back to Mexico to get their education. Let them be Mexico's problem. I'm tired of them being our problem. You wonder why the hospital in your area is closed and it takes 8 hours to go to the emergency room when you've got a broken leg? Because it's overcrowded, because they're in there because they've got a sniffle. And they come in and they can't be turned away. The care is mandated, and they don't pay their bills. They bail on and stick you, the taxpayer, with it, okay? That's why. Now, the business interests in this country are lobbying hard because they like cheap labor. They want more workers than there are jobs because that keeps wages low. There's no upward pressure on wages. If we send the illegal aliens home, all 55 million of them, not just the criminals, all of them, guess what, folks? It becomes worthwhile for people to get off of welfare and go to work, because businesses are going to have to raise their wage rates in order to attract the talent and the labor force that they need. We don't need to monkey around with the mandatory minimum wage. And let's do the math, okay? Let's talk about this. When I was a dishwasher, I was probably worth the $1.60 an hour I was getting paid. Probably not much more, because, you know, hey, I was a 14, 15-year-old kid. I was always screwing around. I was, playing. I was getting the dishes washed. But could I have been a more productive worker? Yes, I could have. But I was 15, 16 years old. I was, like I said, screwing around at work. Work was fun, something you went and did to get out of your house, make a few shekels, you know? So I think the minimum wage needs to be left alone. And if you have a workforce out there, if you're an employer, and if you have people who are good, the key to making more money is to make yourself more valuable. If we deal with the surplus of labor we have in this country because of illegal immigration, the people who are productive are going to make more money. The people who are, like I said, immature and jack around at work aren't worth the minimum wage. I tell you, they're out there who aren't worth the minimum wage. Trust me on this. You know it. I know it. They're going to stay at minimum wage. But the ones who are productive workers are going to get raises, because suddenly employers don't want to lose their best and brightest and most productive workers. I can't say this enough. So please contact the Trump organization and send them a note and say, look, if you abandon the deportation platform, the plank of your platform, I'm abandoning you. And, I'll vote for Jill Stein or I'll vote for whatever knucklehead. Nah, don't vote for what's his name, libertarian Gary Johnson. He's an open borders quack, okay? Open borders quacks. You might as well vote for Hillary. You'll get just as open a border with Johnson. He's not worth a warm bucket of spit either, okay? So anyway, that is one of my things that I wanted to rant and rail on today, is that this immigration issue, if Trump fails on this, if he waffles, if he weakens, we have to let him know that we're going to bail on him. Okay? That it is incumbent upon us. The only way we have to influence these candidates is to let them know how we think. Emails, phone calls, etc. They keep track of it. You know, they keep track of it. Let them know that we're not screwing around. This is the do or die deal. If he doesn't deport these people, then you know he's going to lose your support. That will rattle him. He's already behind, according to the official polls. The other thing I got to talk about, Black America. Where I'm at in Arizona and where I'm at in Oregon, I don't encounter many Black people. I don't. While I was traveling in L.A. and New York City, I talked to a lot of Black people. And to a person, man, woman, young, old, they're looking at Trump. They're looking at Trump. They know they've been sold down the river by the Democrats. They know it. They get it. They understand it. And they understand the BS the Democrats are. The Democrats have been taking them for granted. They've been giving them lip service. And to a person, like I said, man, woman, young and old, they get it. And they're looking at Trump. A couple of them have committed. Most of them are saying, I don't know, I'm thinking about it. So for the first time since Johnson built the social welfare plantation, the Black vote is looking at going another way. So there's upside here. There is some upside. And again, remember, if the news media tells you how bad Trump is, that means he's good for you. That means he's – what it means is if they tell you he's bad, it means he's bad for the establishment. If they tell you Hillary's good, that means she's good for the establishment. Now you look at what's happened since her husband was president, okay? NAFTA, GATT, the WTO, World Trade Organization, and most favored nation status for China. We all know where the jobs went. And they ain't here, okay? They have abandoned this country. They bailed. But if you go out to buy yourself a new Coach purse, even though the labor rate's down to $2 a day compared to, you know, 18, 20 bucks an hour for a U.S. worker, they have not dropped their prices to you. And this is across the board. I don't care if it's General Electric. I don't care if it's Apple Computer. I don't care if it's GE. I don't care if it's Coach bags, Johnson Murphy shoes. Anybody who has moved their manufacturing to China has increased their profit margin, but has not passed the savings along to you. So what they're getting rich, and your job's gone. Okay, get it, understand it, understand what's being done to you, or what has been done to you. And everybody talks about the Great Recession of 2007 and 8. Why there's no recovery? There's no recovery because the jobs aren't here anymore. The jobs are in China. They gutted the manufacturing force. They gutted the workforce here. Like I said, the globalist and the global corporations, they want a surplus of labor in the U.S. to keep wages down. What that means is, like me, I'm working two jobs, a full-time and a part-time, all right? It's not a 40-hour week for me. It's a 50, 60, well, not even 50, it's 60 or 70 hours a week for me, plus all of my other projects. You know, I'm working on other things gratis because I believe I can build something out of them that's going to benefit the people of this country and people of the world, for that matter. But the globalists want an excess of labor. They do not want you paid a fair wage. They want you to work for as cheap as they can get you. And trust me, if they can get the wages as cheap as they are in China, then they'll hire you back. But do you want to live and work? Is it worth your time to work that cheap? You wonder why we have a permanent underclass. You wonder why... you know, our youth is not working. It's because we have an excess of labor in this country, because the global economy is screwed up. They broke it on purpose. They gutted this country for the purpose of driving our wage rates down. That's the reason we have this open border. That's the reason the laws aren't being enforced. That's all why. So somebody's asking me, is this live or is this a rerun? This is live, folks. You know, I'm not doing a rerun yet. I am going to bail early because I am tired. I got off in an airplane today at 8:45, 9 o'clock in the morning. I had to catch at 7. I had to be up at 2 in the morning to get ready to pack to get my shuttle to the airport. But I am exhausted. And I'm probably not going to do the whole show, but there are a few things I have to cover. And chief among them is this Trump. Lean on him. Call him. Email him. Write him letters. You know, I sent him a letter and said, hey, look, if you're going to bail, if you're going to soften, if you're going to weaken on the deportation thing, refund my campaign contribution. My campaign contribution was based on the fact you're going to deport the illegals who won't come here. You know, do we need a new immigration system? Yes, we do. And it's my proposal that we roll back the Immigration Reform Act of 1965 and go back to the system that was in place before that, that preserved the demographic of this country.
You there, Mike? I have no audio from you, Mike.
When did I lose you, Brett?
There you go. Your audio is back. Okay. 20 seconds.
About 20 seconds? All right, folks. I'm going to repeat it again. We need a new immigration system in this country. But I don't think we need a new one. I think we need to repeal the Immigration Reform Act of 1965 and go back to the system we had prior to the assassination of JFK. That immigration system worked. There were no complaints. There were no problems. The Jews in this country engineered it in order to change the demographic and dilute the white population here and make us a minority in our own country. And it's time for us to stand up and fight back and don't weaken on this thing. Let Trump know if he bails on the immigration issue and the deportation issue, he's done. All right. I'm worked up. I'll be right back. I'm going to do a little bit more of the show. I'm fired up. I got more to cover. Well, good afternoon. Welcome back. It's like I said, I'm not going to whine much more about it, but I'm exhausted. But these are things that I have to bring to your attention. You know, sometimes the word duty, you know, what it means. And I'm tired as heck. I'd love to go and lay down and take a nap again. And I got work that's piled up like crazy. But I see what's wrong with this country that I love very much. I love my country. I love my culture. I love my people. I look at the intentional malmanagement of this country to put us in the state we're in. Okay? This has been social engineering on the grandest scale. We were a great country. We had our act together. We were doing well. We were the most productive nation on the face of the planet. We were the largest lender, largest creditor to the world. The world owed us money. But you know what? The banks don't make money unless somebody borrows. So they turned us into the largest debtor nation. That's not cool. We owe more money than everybody else combined, okay? That's how fragile our economy is. And our economy is fragile for a number of other reasons. And, you know, I'm going to stand up for Black Americans because have they been treated unfairly? Yes, they have. Started with Lyndon Johnson when I said he created the social welfare plantation that they can, they can get by. They're not going to prosper. They're not going to thrive, but they can get by. And if they're not motivated, if they're lazy, that's good enough. The other crime against black America was the targeting of the inner cities for drug trafficking in order to raise additional money to fund their black projects. You know, that's kind of you know, the two things that have been done to harm black America. Now, you know, we hear about all this inner city violence, and we hear about, you know, the 700-800 murders in Chicago every year. Okay, understand that the murders in Chicago, they're using it as an excuse to take guns away from blacks, or to take guns away from Americans, all Americans, not just blacks. But understand that because of the social welfare system that exists, there is no economy in the inner city except drug trafficking. That's it. You wonder why blacks are killing each other so much? They're fighting over drug turf. Who gets to sell the crack cocaine on which corner? That's why they're shooting each other. That's why there's these gang wars. And you know what? Black America doesn't even care about it. White America sure doesn't care about it, as long as they don't come out in the suburbs. All right? So we have a couple choices. One is, let's get rid of the illegal alien labor force that's in this country. Deport them and send them home. Get them out of here. They have a country. Go home. If you don't like how your own country is, fix it. We have to fix ours. And they're not helping us fix it. They're making ours worse. They are no net contribution to the betterment of this country. They're hurting the American workforce. They're destroying the middle class by knocking out the bottom on the low wages. Okay? So, you know, understand it. That's what's going on here. The other thing is, there wouldn't be any drug wars or any turf wars for drug territory if we legalized it. You know, Oregon's legalized marijuana. Colorado has. Washington State has. You know, half a dozen other states are talking about it. Just last week, the DEA came out and says, well, we're not legalizing it. We're going to keep it as a Schedule I controlled substance, all right, which tells you the cartels have influence over the DEA because, get this, folks, marijuana is 60% of the drug cartel's revenue base, all right? 60% of their revenue comes from marijuana. Understand that. So if you want to have a war on drugs and you want to win, do I advocate using marijuana? Hell no, especially not for my 17-year-old kid. I don't want him smoking it. And my comment to him was, you know, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to get you addicted to anything else. What it is going to do is it's going to destroy all of your ambition. If you want to be a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief, if you want to be an athlete, if you want to be an astronaut, if you want to be any number of things that require a work ethic, that require ambition, that require effort, if you want to strive to be one of the high achievers in this country, in the world, don't smoke marijuana. Because if you smoke marijuana, you're going to end up being 37 years old, still living in your mom's basement. And nobody wants that, not even your mom. You know, I mean, so these things, although they are not harmful in many ways, they don't help you succeed in life. Now, if you have health issues, there are proven benefits to some cannabis products for health issues, cancer in particular. This is stuff we need to get a handle on. These are things we need to get a handle on. But if you want to stop the drug war, legalize the drugs and take the profit motive out of them. Perfect example. Give you an analogy from history. During Prohibition, there were gang wars in Chicago where they're killing each other over turf and who gets to control the supply of alcohol into Chicago. All right, folks, fast forward 2016. Hey, instead of alcohol wars and gang wars, there's drug gang wars in Chicago. Well, they're killing each other over turf and who gets to sell drugs in Chicago. You want to stop that stuff? You want to stop the nonsense? Legalize it, okay? There's really only a couple of drugs that are truly harmful to human life, truly toxic. Methamphetamine being right up there among them. Heroin being right up there among them. You know, you don't see any old junkies. All right, let's bifurcate the problem. Let's change the format so we don't come across as pro-drug. Let's make the truly toxic drugs, meth, heroin, maybe another one or two, I don't know. But let's make them mandatory death penalty. If you get caught dealing it, transporting it, manufacturing it, money laundering for it, we're going to execute you, okay? Let's make it that severe to where, let's follow the Singapore model. Death to drug traffickers. They don't screw around. They kill them. You know, let's find the drugs that are not toxic, not harmful to human life. You know, LSD comes to mind. You know, Quaaludes come to mind. Ecstasy comes to mind. These drugs are not addictive, and they don't kill people. Do I recommend doing them? I'm never going to recommend doing them, especially not to my 17-year-old kid. But there doesn't need to be severe criminal penalties like they have now. Marijuana doesn't kill anybody. Makes you lazy. Destroys your ambition. Like I said, you're going to be 37 years old living in your mom's basement. Nobody wants that. But the toxic drugs, the ones that destroy human life, let's make those the death penalty, and let's fight a drug war we can win, okay? And that, my friends, will stop this violence in the inner cities, just like repealing prohibition over when alcohol was illegal stopped the violence in Chicago and everywhere else in this country, okay? Do the math. Get it. Understand it. And, you know, these Democrats go on and on. They don't want to stop the drug war. It's profitable. They want to take your guns away so you can't defend yourself against the police state they want to impose on you. All right? These are solvable, solvable problems. We can come to good compromises. We can do these things. But we've got to do these things and do them in the right manner. And that's what I'm talking about. It should be pretty obvious. If your IQ is above room temperature, you look at the Republicans, the Republican establishment that has defected to support Hillary Clinton. Those are the Republicans that are owned by the establishment. Those are the ones that are on the payroll of organized crime, the Jewish Khazarian mafia. Those are the ones. And if you ever wonder why the Jews are at the top of the food chain in organized crime, I'll tell you why. It doesn't matter if you're the Hell's Angels biker gang selling meth and prostituting women out at all the strip clubs. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, running a gambling syndicate like a numbers game or an underground poker game. It doesn't matter if you're manufacturing meth, dealing drugs. They all have one thing in common. How do you launder the money? You know, if nobody wants to pull the Al Capone, where they put him away on his tax returns. They didn't get him on murder. They didn't get him on the bootlegging and trafficking in alcohol. They got him on his tax returns. The Jews control the banking industry. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That gives them power. So because if you're the Hell's Angels biker gang and you're making, you know, $18 million a year in methamphetamine sales and you can't launder the money in a way that keeps you out of prison for money laundering, you're going to jail anyway. So that is what gives the Jewish bankers control over organized crime. That puts them at the top of the food chain, okay? And it's like this. Look, we'll launder your money, but you're going to cut us in. And our cut's going to be 20, 25, 30% of whatever your gross is. And if you do that, we'll handle it. We'll, you know, we'll get along great. We'll be great partners. But we're your new silent partner in your business, you know, whatever your organized crime gig is. That's how it works, folks. That's how it works. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure this out. But, you know, anyway, I'm rambling on. I'm sort of a flight of ideas here. Like I said, I am not my best self today because of the fatigue I'm suffering. And I'm going to call it an hour at the top of the hour. I'm going to bail on the rest of the show. But these are important issues. Don't believe the bullshit. One other thing I want to talk to you about, okay? ISIS. You know, I just had a couple days with counterterrorism experts in New York working for the UN, going to work for the EU, okay? ISIS is not what it seems. You know, you've heard me talk about this before. Gordon's talked about it. Jim Dean's talked about it. You know, Preston and I have talked about it. You know, here's the question I have to ask for you. How is ISIS acquiring U.S.-manufactured TOW missiles that are manufactured by Raytheon Corporation in Tucson, Arizona? How are they getting them? How is ISIS getting access to man pads? How is ISIS getting access to Stinger missiles, which have been used to bring down now 3 Russian helicopters? How are they getting these things? Well, it's simple. The U.S. doesn't sell them directly to ISIS. The U.S. sells them to Israel, and the U.S. sells them to Turkey, and the U.S. sells them to the Saudis. All right? So what Israel, the Saudis, and Turkey do with them after that, the U.S. has no control. So they have what is called plausible deniability. Okay? Understand it. The U.S. says, well, we sold these. We haven't, these haven't been in our inventory in 5 years. We sold them to X, Y, and Z. So if you look at what the Saudi royal family is doing to try to topple the Assad regime, that is the U.S. is using the Saudis, Israel, and Turkey as the conduit to feed weapons to ISIS so they can take down the Assad government and destabilize more of the Middle East. Don't forget it. That's what's going on. Okay? That is what is happening right now as we speak. So, anyway, that's that's another part of it. And then these are all conversations that I've shared with people who needed to know. And the reason we know this, whenever a TOW missile or a Stinger is, there's always debris. There's always metal shards. There's always pieces of it. And guess what? These pieces, when they're recovered, have serial numbers. And we can tell you exactly who these serial numbers are. Where these were shipped once they left U.S. possession. We can't document the entire chain of custody, but we know who we sold them to. Saudi Arabia, folks. Saudis are up to this big time. Big time. And, you know, like when I had the Minister of Justice on, and I had the Chief of Syrian Intelligence on a week or two ago, I advised him that if I was his advisor, I would be trying to assassinate the Saudi royal family because they're destroying my country and my people, and I have a duty as the leader of my sovereign country to stop those who are trying to destroy my country, my culture, and my people. And I would do the same thing with Erdogan in Turkey. I would do the same thing with Netanyahu in Israel. I would take the war not to the people. You know, the people of Saudi Arabia are some of the most oppressed in the world. The people of Turkey are wonderful, nice, kind people. But the leadership, just like this country, you know, the American people are good people. We don't want to go to war with anybody. I don't want to see my 17-year-old kid packed up to have to go to Syria or some other place in the Middle East to go fight a war and maybe come back in a bag. I don't want to see it happen to him. I don't want to see it happen to any American kids. I want new leadership. It's our leadership that misleads us. So if I was Bashar al-Assad, I would not take my war against the people. I would take it against the leadership of those countries. I would actively send out, if I had to, I would ask for volunteers to go on suicide missions to take out the Saudi royal family, to take out Netanyahu, to take out Erdogan. That is what I would be doing to defend my country. That's just me. That's what I would do. We need something similar in our country. The American people do not want war with Russia. I've been to Russia. I've been to Ukraine. These are the nicest, kindest people you've ever met in your life. The only difference is they speak a different language. That's it. They cook their food a little bit different way, but you can't tell about to look at it from any American you ever see. And, I don't want to hurt these people. I want our leadership to knock it off. And if they don't knock it off and start behaving in a socially responsible way globally, then it's incumbent upon us to remove the leadership that is putting this country in peril by provoking wars around the world. And that's exactly what they're doing. You can't – Hillary Clinton, I'm telling you, she works for corporate America. She works for the military-industrial complex. She does not work for the American people. And Donald Trump, I like a lot of what Trump says. His deportation thing is really what got me. Because I thought that was the something that's been long overdue. Corporate America wants cheap labor in this country, and they don't mind leaving the border open. So your school, so your kid, instead of being a class of 20, 25 kids, he's in a class with 45 or 50 kids and making no progress because half of them don't speak English, and it slows the whole class down. So your kid's getting robbed of an education. That's what's going on. They have their own country. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to move to when they trash this place? Look at their own country. It's a shithole. It's one of the most beautiful countries in the world, but it's a shithole, okay? And it's because of how it's managed and how it's run. They come up here, they bring their problems, they bring their gangs, they bring their drugs, they bring their violence, they bring it with them. Look at Europe, same thing with the Muslim influx. You have these rape gangs going out and picking up 12-year-old girls and having 17 men have sex with her in every orifice, okay? You know what that does to a 12-year-old girl? Ruins her for life. That's what's going on here. We have the right, we have the duty, the obligation to defend our country and our culture and our people. And, I'm tired as heck right now, and I don't want to be doing this radio show, but I'm doing it because I have a duty. I'm going to knock it off at the top of the hour. I'm going to quit for the day. But folks, get a hold of Trump and tell him if he waffles on this deportation thing, if he doesn't deport all 55 million of them, he's not going to get my vote. Not going to get it. Sorry. We could do better. Not better than Hillary. I don't care. I'll vote for some knucklehead on a party I've never heard of. But, this deportation thing is key to getting our country back on its feet. And in closing, I've got about 2 minutes left. The last thing that we need to do, if you want to stop the downward spiral of this country, if you want to end it, the best thing you can do is let's bring the 9/11 perpetrators to justice. They're still out walking around. They're eating caviar. They're drinking champagne. They're being driven around in chauffeured limos with bodyguards, okay? Let's bring them to justice by any means possible. I don't care if it's extrajudicial, but let's bring them to justice because we know the perps are out there. Larry Silverstein is living large. That guy needs to be, we need to tie him to the back of a pickup truck and drag him about 10 miles through the streets of New York to make an example out of him. Show the others that we're coming for them too. These are the people who brought down the Twin Towers. We know who they are. We've identified the list. We know who's involved. It's time to go get them by any means possible, folks. All right, that's it. I'm done. Thanks for listening to my one-hour rant. That's all I have in me. I am exhausted, and I got other work to do. I'm not done. I still got my paying job I got to catch up on, folks. I'll be back on Thursday. Or is today? No, today's Tuesday. I'm so confused. Anyway, everybody take care. Have a great afternoon, and I'll be back on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Is your data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tuesdays at 12 noon Eastern on Studio A to hear Tammy Adams share her knowledge of an unknown realm on Talking with Your Angels. Join Tammy as she uncovers hidden secrets about the spiritual world of angels, ghosts, and other entities that have been with us longer than we know. Tammy is a psychic, a teacher, spiritual coach, a leader in her field, and will be sharing her information and stories with you. So join us on Tuesdays at noon on Studio A. With Tammy's guidance, you'll find out who has been watching over you from the other side, and soon you will be talking with your angels.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Some more speed records in this day and age. You need coverage.
Coverage? Oh, you mean them little root weevils that crawl around popping off cameras in your face?
Those root weevils write history.
Many of you know that quote by Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. Well, you can, and Event Horizons will give you those truths. So when you're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore from that memorable scene in Network, you'll know just what to do. We will draw you in and become your news addiction at Event Horizons. Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time at freedomslips.com. At Revolution Radio, our world team members are Dennis Fecho, John Ilias, David Dunger, Hila Kass, MD, Melanie Richton, Jim Mars, Paula Harris, John Trallo, Maria Payan, Christopher Husser, DODDS, Jonathan Orchard, and me, your anchor, Dr. Robin Falco.
If you decide not to volunteer, it will not be held against you in any way.
Sounds dangerous.
It is.
Very dangerous.
Count me in.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
There is a time to question. There is a time for answers. There is a time to challenge. There is a time to speculate. There is a time for change. There is a time for truth. The time is now. Welcome to Night Fright, your voice in the dark for paranormal and conspiracy radio. Now your host, Brent Holland.